Good evening, everybody. Good to see you all tonight. I'm glad that you came back. You knew I was preaching and you came anyway. I'm so proud. I was going to call you, Brother Dan. I was going to call you. Lord Jesus, I pray that what I feel right now, that every single person in this house would feel what I feel, the joy of the Holy Ghost. I pray that everybody watching online, Lord, that your spirit would go where they are and just inundate their homes, wherever they are watching right now, Father, if it's homes or hospitals or jail cells or sick beds, wherever people are watching from, I pray that your spirit would go and move on their behalf. Lord, move in this room. I believe you tonight to break strongholds. I believe you tonight, Lord God, that people will walk out of here free, free in their hearts, free in their minds. I decree it, I declare it by the authority of the name of Jesus. And it will come to pass, even as I have spoken it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, we got authority. You might as well use it. We might as well use it. Amen. Are you ready to get into the word tonight? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I am doing a series called Defeating Your Giant. So this is part two of Defeating Your Giant. There will be a part three. So go ahead and gas your cars up and get ready to come on back Wednesday night, next Wednesday. There will be a part three and probably a part four. So tonight, Defeating Your Giant, part two. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. And I'll go ahead and tell you there is a subtitle. Defeating Your Giant, part 2. Tonight, the subtitle, if I can just go ahead and let the cat out the bag, the subtitle is Let the Lion Loose. Let the Lion Loose. 1 Samuel 17, 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoko, that which belongs to Judah, and pitched between Shoko and Azekah at Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain or a big hill on one side. And Israel stood on a big hill on the other side. And there was a valley between them. Now, remember last week I told you Israel was already in a place of victory. I believe they already stood in a place of victory. And last week I told you, just like Israel, as they lined up on that big hill in a place of victory, they had the warriors, they had the skill, they had Abner, a hardened soldier leading them, and they had the God of Israel. So they were lined up in a place of victory, just like we have. We are in a place of victory. But this is what happens. The giant knows how to push your buttons to get you in a place of fear doubt and unbelief. And nothing can sap the energy of a man or a woman of God. I don't care how long you've been serving God. Nothing can drain your energy like fear, doubt, and unbelief. And so here comes the giant. And the giant's assignment, his assignment, I believe, by the Philistine army was, you go to that valley, you put fear in their heart, you call down any dumb soldier who dares fight you, kill him, and that way we can win the victory. I want you to jump ahead just for a second. Look at 2 Samuel 17:51. Go way in the same chapter, go way up to the verse 51. Now, this is a spoiler alert. If you've never read this story before, David wins. This guy I haven't talked about yet. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 51. It says, therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And then the Philistines saw their champion was dead. When they saw Goliath was dead, what did they do? They ran, which proves my point. They knew they couldn't beat the Israel's army. They knew they were at a disadvantage. They knew that Abner, this hardened captain of Saul's army, they knew these warriors, they knew they were going to lose to Israel. And so they fled. And the Bible says, 1 Samuel 17:52, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shaaram, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. That was a great slaughter of the Philistines that day by Israel. Which takes me back to what I was saying. Israel knew they had the warriors and the skill and the God and the leadership to win that battle. And then it says, verse 1 Samuel 17:53, and the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines. You don't run unless you're scared. Chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. That song we sang tonight, going up to the high places to tear the devil kingdom down. We've been deceived by the devil too long, it says. We're going to tear the devil's kingdom down. We're going to reclaim everything the devil stole. We're going to tear the devil's kingdom down. That's what they did. They defeated the army. And then they went and plundered, went and looted, went and raided their camp. And they not only won the battle, but they came back rich from the battle. So let's go back to 1 Samuel 17, verse 3. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, or he was between 8 and 9 feet tall. Kind of tall guy. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. So here you have this 8-9 foot tall giant carrying 150 to 250 pounds of weapons and armor. And the guy himself weighed anywhere from 450, 500 to even 550 potentially, some people say Goliath might have weighed 600 pounds. He was a giant. And so the Philistines knew, if I send this giant down to the valley, he's going and tell him, you call down one man,
that he would strike fear into the hearts of Israel's army. So verse 8, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for me and let him come down to me. Now, I'm not going to get back into this. We talked about this last Wednesday night. The devil wants you to come down and play in his sandbox, because as soon as your feet hit the sand, he's got you. But go back and listen to last week if you didn't get a chance to hear that sermon. So when we're facing giants in our life, we have to remember this one thing. You cannot beat a giant in the flesh. You cannot beat a giant in the flesh. So last week we talked about Jesus saying that he gave us authority and power. He said, I give unto you exousia. I give you authority. I give you power, jurisdiction, he said, as Christians. And so go back and listen last week if you were not here, if you missed that sermon. Let's move on. 1 Samuel 17:9. And so he said this, the giant said this, if he be able to fight with me, whatever man you choose, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. You see, doesn't that sound simple? You get you a 600-pound giant carrying about 200 pounds of weapons and, you know, about 8 or 9 feet tall, and send him down to this valley for all the armies to see and tell him to challenge one of the Israelites who back in that time was, I don't know, they're 5 foot five, 5 foot six, 5'7". They were not 8 foot tall. This giant just beat him to a pulp, killed the poor guy. And the Philistines say, okay, if we win, Israel, you have to serve us. But see, the strategy was a little bit bigger than the giant let on. Because the Philistines, they don't just say, okay, you come and you lose to us and you're going to come and join our camp. No, what the giant meant was, if you lose and you become our servants, not only do you have to leave your home and come and serve us, but you have to leave your God with your home. You're not bringing your God with us. The Philistines didn't serve Jehovah. They didn't serve Yahweh. They served Dagon. They served these false deities. And so when the giant said, you have to serve us, he was saying, you have to serve us, but you also have to serve our God. That's the small print of the contract that that foolish man was going to sign when he walked down to that valley. You know, in verse 10, and the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Give me a man that we might fight together. Do you know who the biggest man in Israel's army was? King Saul. He was the biggest, tallest, best hope that they had. Let's see how Saul handled this. 1 Samuel 17:11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words, heard the words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Come on, Saul. You can do better than that. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. You know, in the Hebrew, that word dismayed, this is what that means. It means to just break a person down. Just Goliath just broke them down with his words. It means to beat down, to make afraid, to scare, to discourage. It means to terrify. One version, this is how one version translates 1 Samuel 17:11. It translates it like this. When Saul and his men heard this, they were terrified. Terrified. It only took one man to make one statement to steal the victory from the army of Israel. Never happened to you before? Have you ever faced a giant where you're just flying high, everything is great, everything is going fine, and all of a sudden here comes the giant. And he gives you this speech. He gives you this diagnosis. He gives you this ultimatum. He says something and it just beats you down and just pulls the faith right out of you. The spirit of fear has the unique ability to take you from 100% to zero, like that. It's something unique about the spirit of fear. You can have your faith riding sky high, and as soon as something happens, as soon as you get a word, as soon as you hear something, as soon as fear hits, your faith is gone. And Saul and the entire army were terrified. You know, this morning about 2 a.m., I was awakened out of sleep, and I went to my prayer closet. I was like, God, you got to be calling me to pray. It's 2 a.m. I'm tired. It's got to be serious. I went to my prayer closet this morning, and this is what I heard. There's an epidemic spreading, and this epidemic is an epidemic of fear and anxiety. That's what I heard. And so, being a Holy Ghost man, I went to Google. Epidemic, fear and anxiety. And this is what I got. This is what I got. Says, this is what came up. There is an epidemic spreading around the world today that is quite unusual. The World Health Organization calls it the most prevalent mental health condition worldwide. And what's sad about it is that it's affecting more young people than it is the older generation. And I thought about that this morning. In the wee hours of the morning while I was reading this, I thought, why is it impacting the young generation? Think about what's going on with the young generation versus, just say, my generation. You can't threaten me and tell me, David, you know what? We don't have supper tonight. You might just have to skip a couple of meals. Baby, don't you know I grew up skipping meals? I didn't grow up to where I had this. I did not grow up with a silver spoon. So I grew up, and sometimes there was hardships there. And you know what else I grew up with? I grew up ignorant because I didn't know all the things that were going on in everybody's life in the world all at the same time. But think about today. Young people have social media, so they know everything. Every bomb that's dropped, every threat that's made, every dignitary, every actor, actress who passes away, who overdoses, they know everything. all their friends who are lying about the great vacations they're having and wherever they're going and showing all this great stuff on Facebook. And these people are like, I can't go. I don't have the means to do this. And there's so much information. They're going to college, going to school, getting all these student loans, getting up to their eyeballs in debt, and they can't get a job. And there's so much going on. I can just go. It's just so much going on. And it's like the enemy has said, I'm going to unleash a spirit of anxiety on this world. And so the World Health Organization they've come up with a number of like 360 million people in the world who suffer from fear and anxiety. That's more people that's in the entire country of the United States. And fear and anxiety, it has nobody that is not afraid to try and attack. Look, I know this one guy. My wife and I know this one guy. I'll call him a mini Goliath. This guy is a monster. One day, he was helping us do something, and we had this big tote of books. And so I got two hands and picked this thing up because it was like 100-something pounds. I'm like, grab the other side. He's like, move, David. Picked it up like it was a empty box. I'll tell you what. I would rather Brother Bob take my hand, put it in his vise, and close it as tight as he can than to shake this guy's hand for 2 seconds. He shook my hand one day, and my hand hurt for 2 days. But you know what happened? We were working together one day, and I saw something in his eyes, and he just stopped and sat down. And this panic came over him. And this spirit of fear, this anxiety came over this Hulk. And it just shut him down. Just shut him down. And I said, are you all right? And he said, David, you just gotta just give me a minute. He said, because when this comes on me, I just gotta stop because it just paralyzes me. Yeah. Yeah. You know, in Luke 21:26, this is what Jesus said. He said in the last days that men's hearts would fail them for fear because they would know the things that were coming upon the earth and it would just shake them. It would rattle their cage. And we see that happening. You know, one version in Luke 21:26, this is how one version says this. It says, men will faint from fear and anxiety over what is coming upon the earth. And then you have the voice of the giant that comes, and that doesn't help. Because here we're believing God, and God is saying, trust me, trust me. You'll live through this. And the giant comes, and fear says, no, you're not. Trust me, you're going to die. The word of God says, trust me, trust me. I'll take care of this. And fear comes and says, nope, nope, you're not going to make it out of this one. And when you listen to that voice of fear, it shuts you down. It will shut you down. But that's why I'm here tonight. Because we're going to break that spirit of fear. At least I'm going to start on it. I'm going to do my best to get through this message. Back in the day when there were only DVDs, you didn't have, you know, YouTube and all this stuff. So you had to put the DVD in a DVD player. And you got this menu came up. And you can look at the different chapters of the movie and different Spanish or English or French or whatever. But there was one selection you could make, and it was called, when they did it, it was called the alternate ending. You could actually go and look, watch the whole movie, and then you can go into this little box and click on this box, and you had an alternate ending to where maybe the bad guy didn't die. Maybe he killed the good guy, or maybe the dog wasn't whatever adopted. Maybe he ran off into the woods. Who knows? But I want to give you an alternate ending to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to give you an alternate ending. Now, I'm not trying to rewrite the scripture. I'm just giving you an alternate ending. What if it would have happened this way? 1 Samuel 17:11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words, what happened? They were dismayed and terrified. What if it read like this? I also got this in my prayer closet this morning. I was like, I don't know. Am I really hearing this? So let me read you this alternate ending. What if 1 Samuel 17:11 read like this? When Saul and Israel heard those words, King Saul walked to the edge of the hill where the army stood. This is not in your Bible. This is what I wrote. He looked at the giant with a smirk on his face, as if he was thinking, that's the best you can find. He raises his hand and yells, bring forward the beast. The army of Israel begins to beat their swords against their shields and cry with all of their might, beast, 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 beast. Their voices like thunder rolls through the valley where Goliath waits and sweeps up the adjacent hill where the Philistine army stands in formation. The Philistine army and the giant who was just yelling threats and insults at the God of Israel is now standing silent and bewildered, wondering what was about to come forward. The army of Israel parts like the Red Sea in the days of Moses, and out of the sea of warriors comes one warrior with a team of horses pulling a large metal cage. The cage comes to a stop beside King Saul, and he simply pulls a pin from the latch that holds the gate of the cage closed and takes a step back. He looks at the giant and yells, here is the answer to your request, Goliath of Gath. A terrifying roar sounds from the cage as if to give warning to all creatures, great and small, as much as 5 miles away, the true champion has arrived. Suddenly, a lion they had properly named Beast bursts forth from the cage and is racing towards the giant of a man as if his very life depended on him reaching Goliath as fast as he could. This was no ordinary lion. Beast was an unusual size, like its prey, Goliath. His length from nose to tail was 14 feet. He weighed between 600 and 650 pounds. His paw print was big enough to easily accommodate a serving platter. The adrenaline coursing through his veins caused the 3-inch spike-like claws to protrude from his paws, ripping and tearing away great patches of grass and earth as he got closer and closer to his lunch. Before the giant could even raise his sword, he was overwhelmed, decimated, and consumed by the lion that they properly named the Beast. Wouldn't that be a cool alternate ending? I read all of that to you because I want to read you a quote by Charles Spurgeon. Here is his quote. The word of God is like a lion. Oh, hallelujah. The word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose. And the lion will defend itself. Why are we keeping the word of God caged up? We need to let the lion loose. When fear comes at you, you begin to use the word of God. Don't keep that lion caged up. You tell fear in the name of Jesus. If you want some of this, you come on. Because I got a lion with your name on it. Come on, church. We got to dig up this soil. We got to get our faith back. It's time for the church of God to begin to use God's word in faith and power and victory. I don't know about y'all right now, but I feel like I could just tackle the entire world. Because faith is rising up in my heart. It's time for faith to rise up in God's children. We have got to stop letting the giant come to us, lie to us, intimidate us, beat us down, terrify us. I think I'm going to take this message to the Presbyterian Church or the Baptist Church because I might get a little bit better response from them. It's time to let the lion loose. We've got to open the door of our lips to the cage of our heart and let it loose. We need to be speaking God's word everywhere that we go, in every situation, every circumstance. We should be proclaiming, I believe the word of God because God's word says I win. It's time for the people of the living God. It's time for the people of the Almighty God. It's time for the people of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to start using their mouth against their enemy. You know, once upon a time, way back in the day, they began to talk about confession, confessing the word. And we, my wife and I, man, we would just go around confessing God's word all the time. In the name of Jesus, I'm gonna live and not die. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. In the name of, man, we were just confessing God's word everywhere. But then it kind of began to morph into, well, if you can confess it, you can confess and name and claim anything. And so we, as a church, began to stop confessing and fighting our giant And we begin to just name and claim. Give me a Mercedes Benz. Give me a BMW. Give me a mansion. Give me a big bank account. Give me X, Y, and Z. And we stop fighting with the word. And we begin to use the word like it was a genie in a bottle. But just because the word was misused doesn't mean that you stop using the word. Let me say that again. I like the way that sounded, what I just said. Just because the word has been misused does not mean that you stop using the word. How many of us are confessing the word anymore? How often do we use the word as the head of the spear to cut through the darkness that's trying to come against us? It's time for us to open that old rusty gate of our lips and let the word of God come from our hearts. And let it put fear into the heart of the giant that's trying to harass you and take you down and tell you that you're not going to make it. It's time for you to go on the offense and quit being on the defense all the time. Don't you give up because of fear? You're going to give up because of fear? You're going to say, well, I'm not going to make it because of a demon? Let me take a drink because I think I'm wearing y'all down a little bit. This is so good. Whew. You're going to let a spirit of fear stop you from walking in the calling that God has appointed for you? Do you know the Bible says, you folks online, help me out. I believe the Bible says that Jesus told his disciples, I want you to go out and I want you to heal the sick. I want you to raise the dead. I want you to cast out demons. Freely you have received, I want you to freely give. He wasn't just talking to Peter, James, and John. He was talking to you, us, me. We should be doing better than what we're doing right now, all of us. And you folks online, just because you're not here, you too. You know what stops us? Fear. Intimidation. Oh, my God. What if I pray? Let me give you a quick story. What time is it? Let me give you. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Let me warm up a little bit. So we were at this meeting. We're at this meeting. This was a long time ago. I'm new in the faith. So we're at this big meeting in Alexandria, Louisiana. And you got all these preachers and pastors and all these people in this place, and they're all around, and I'm excited because, oh man, I'm about to hear the word. And this guy, this demon begins to manifest in this guy sitting in the lobby. I don't know how he got there, why he got there, but this demon starts manifesting, and I'm looking around like, oh man, this is going to be good. But I watch these guys, these pastors and preachers and anointed men looking at him like, I'm not going to eat it. You're going to, like Mikey, I'm not going to give it to Mikey. I'm not touching this demon. And I'm like, and I'm new. I'm not touching it either because I don't know what I'm doing. But I remember watching the people around begin to look at him like, I'm not fooling him. And you know what happened? This little lady walks up and say, come here, baby. You come with me because you're about to be delivered tonight. Authority. Authority. That's what authority looks like. Authority does not look like a person. Authority is you. Whatever you look like. Wherever you think about yourself, God said, Jesus said, I gave you authority. You authority. You get authority. You get authority. You get authority. We have too much at stake. We have too much at stake to let fear paralyze us from being who God has called us to be. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that when you speak God's word, you sound like that lion who roared from that cage? You sound like that beast whose voice could be heard 5 miles away in my story. You don't have to be loud like me. You can whisper his name. Whisper his name. You might be hoarse. You might not be able to talk. You might be tired from all the pain, all the coughing, all the words, all the junk that's been going on in your family. Tired because all the junk going on your job. You feel like you've been beat down, you're torn down, you're worn down. But all you got to do is muster up enough faith to say, Jesus, I need you, Lord Jesus. Let me read you a couple of scriptures. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? 2 Timothy 3:16 says this about the word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. Open up to Genesis 1:1. Turn to the back of the book and read Revelation. All of it is inspired by God. God breathed. God inspired. Holy Ghost given. So when you use it, when you're speaking the word of God. James 4:7. Turn here with me. James 4:7. James 4:7. You know what I like right now? See, this is an advantage that you have by standing here doing this. I can feel faith. I mean, I just, Pastor, I don't know if this is a real thing. I just feel the faith in God's people coming alive. It's like that soil is being turned over and dug up and turned over again, and this seed is going on some rich ground tonight. James 4:7. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist, stand against, oppose the devil, oppose fear, and he will flee from you. You know what that in the Greek, what that says? It says he will run from you like you are a lion named beast. Well, maybe the Greek doesn't quite. I don't know if Septuagint, I don't know. He probably not. Let me give you an example how to use this. So I'm going to take one scripture, and I'm going to use this scripture as a weapon for when the enemy comes against you. One scripture. Here's the scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but what? Can we say that again? Let's say it together. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Let's say it one more time, but I want this to sound like the lion beast. I want it to just echo. For God, let me hear you. Yes. Yes.
You need to do the first half, and then we finish with power, love, and sound. Then we can roar.
For God has not given us the spirit of fear. If you got fear, where did it come from? So I don't care where it came from. I know God didn't give it to me, so I don't want it. But power, love, and a sound mind. So you know what that tells me? This scripture tells me when fear comes, he comes to rob you of your power, your love, and your soundness of mind. Now, here's some example. Let me give you this example. Here's how we use this. Fear tries to steal your authority and power by telling you that you should give up. You can't win. You're going to always be sick. You'll always be broke. It's hopeless. You don't have any power of your circumstances. This is what you say. You say, fear, you are a liar. And you can't stay here. God says he's given me dunamis, power, miracle working power, strength, explosive power. The power and authority to be violent against the spirit of fear. That's what God says. So fear, you got to go. Amen. So that's the power. What about the love? Fear comes and tells you that nobody cares about you. Nobody likes you. You're not loved. Nobody wants you. Your husband don't want you. Your wife don't want you. The dog don't want you. Even the cat don't want you. You know what you better do? You better open that old rusty gate and open that gate and let the beast out and say, fear, you a liar. You can't stay here. God says he's given me agape love. He told me he loves me with an everlasting love. He told me he loved me so much he sent his only begotten son to die for me. I know I'm loved. I'm loved by my God. I'm loved by my church family, and I'm loved by my biological family. And devil, you are a liar. Fear, you better go. Do you think fear is going to stick around when you talking like that? So what about this sound mind? What's fear? Fear comes and tells you, you know what, mental illness runs in your family. You're going to struggle with that. You'll never be free from depression. You'll never be free from anxiety. You'll never be free from worrying. You're going to be on this medication for anxiety the rest of your life. And you know what else? You'll probably develop dementia on top of that. That's what fear says. Oh, but you better open that rusty gate. You better open the rusty gate of your mouth and you say, fear, you are a liar. You can't stay here. God has given me a sound mind, a mind that can study, a mind that can show myself approved. God has given me an everlasting mind, a mind that's going to last me for the rest of my life. God has given me a mind to read and understand his word and use it against you, fear. God's given me a mind that's strong and resilient, a mind that has the ability to memorize the word and promises of God so that I can speak them out loud in my car, in my yard, while I'm cutting grass, while I'm shopping in the store. I am speaking the word of God. My mind will last me a lifetime. Let me close this because I believe you've heard what I've said.
So here's how I want to close this. When you are attacked by fear, you bring your full grown, roaring, snarling, angry, hungry, ready to kill something, giant sized lion. Pull that bad boy in a cage. I'm talking about the word of God. That's how I want you to see the word. When you talk in the word, you got this hungry, snarling, big, bad lion, and you pull in a cage the size of a small house, and you got a chain over your shoulder, and you're pulling that lion, and you open the gate, and you say, in Jesus' name, by his stripes, I am healed. And that lion jumps out of that cage. The word of God is what I'm talking about. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the head and not the tail. I will live and not die. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight that we don't have to give in to the spirit of fear and worry and torment and anxiety. In the name of Jesus, Father, I take authority over the spirit of anxiety. In the name of Jesus, I command it to leave the lives of your people right now, this night, in Jesus' name. Lord, your word says that you have not given us the spirit of fear. So in Jesus' name, Father, you also say that you have given us authority. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, I stand in authority and I command anxiety to loose the minds, loose the hearts of your people, loose the hearts in Jesus' name. Anxiety, you have to go. Even for those watching online, the spirit of anxiety, fear, depression, dread, terror, you have to go in the name of Jesus. Father, your word says your word is like a fire. It's like a hammer. And I believe tonight, Lord, you're breaking the stronghold of fear in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. Father, that the word tonight was the seed planted on good ground. And I thank you, Lord, that not one person is here by accident, Lord. Not one person is watching by accident, Father. I believe you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to do that miracle work that they need in their life. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over our family. We plead the blood of Jesus over our minds. We plead the blood of Jesus over our church. We plead the blood over our pastor, over Sister Diane. We plead the blood. There's power in the blood, and we proclaim that power right now. Father, we pray for a bloodline to be over us. Around us, Father. We pray for a hedge of protection in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, your word says no weapon formed against us will prosper in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would expose any area in our lives where there may be fear lurking. Expose it, Lord, that we can deal with it. I pray that you speak to the hearts of your people, Holy Ghost, even now. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Show them areas of fear. Show them areas of intimidation. Show them areas of anxiety. Show them where they're being attacked by the enemy. And I pray, Lord, that you break every stronghold. In the name of Jesus.
In the name, can you say in the name of Jesus? Amen. Amen. I got something I need you to look at real quick before I stop. Can you hand a couple of those down? Take one and pass them down, please. Did you get enough back there, Sister Penny? You got one? Okay. While I was praying this morning, and Jesse, I don't know if you're watching Jesse, Megan, but you'd be so proud of me. Because I used AI for the first time to create an image. I'm in my closet praying, and all this is coming to me. And I hear this lion roaring, and I think about the church of God. I think about us as Christians, and I'm thinking, man, you know what? This lion, the beast, that's us too. Because when we speak God's word, we are roaring out the word of God. And look at that lion in this picture. So for you, those of you online, it's just a picture of a lion coming out of this cage, and he's roaring, and even in his breath it says, "You are healed." That's how I need you to see God's word. When you speak God's word, I need you to see that. Whatever promise you're claiming, I need you to see that there is power in the word of God. And it's 8:23. I'm going to take one more minute. I want to read that scripture, Isaiah 53:5, together. We're about to be that voice, that we're about to roar and let the word of God go forth. And Lord, as we read Isaiah 53:5, I pray, Lord God, that these words would go forth and that we will see the manifestation of these words in Jesus' name. You ready to read it with me? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a good night, everybody. If I can pray for you, please come up and I will make sure that I roar at whatever is bothering you. Ha ha ha!